I think that one of the reasons why I'm so passionate in helping women heal trauma, because I experienced trauma, first of all, growing up. I'm originally from Israel. Growing up and living through war zones, I lived through four wars and, of course, carried a lot of trauma from the wars. But I think one of my pivotal moments were when, after I lost six of my eight pregnancies to the 6 or 7 months of the pregnancy, and I have two wonderful adult children. But I was very depressed after losing six pregnancies and losing the babies.
Hi there. My name is Tessa Lynn Auburn. Welcome to Say Yes to Your Soul. This is where we're going to talk about how you can get past your spiritual plateaus, raise your feminine energy, and express your true self with sparkle. Hello there. Our guest today is a medical intuitive, spiritual mentor, and founder of Beacons of Change. And she's also a friend, and I'm absolutely thrilled that she's here today. Her name is Michal Spiegelman. Michal has a background as a certified professional coach, Reiki master, and former social worker. She's been dedicating her life to helping women to heal and empowering professionals to elevate their practice. She guides practitioners to infuse their work with soulfulness and wisdom, and can't we use a little bit more of that everywhere right now? She's enabling them to facilitate profound and lasting transformations for their clients. With a focus on trauma-informed care and soulful healing, Michal's upcoming book, Becoming a Soulful Healer, Discovering the Six Keys to Elevate Your Practice and Presence, is what we're gonna start with that today, but I really wanna just give her a warm welcome. Welcome, Michal, to Say Yes to Your Soul.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, Tessa. First of all, I love the name of your podcast, just the vibe of it. And I also, like you said, we are friends. We know each other for years. And I'm just so excited to be here with you.
Oh, you know, we had we both kind of went our own paths for a few years, and then we kept reconverging every now and then. And I'm just so excited because now we're even more involved, like, once again, with each other's businesses and lives. And it's just been a blessing to know you and to be able to work with you professionally and just know you as a person. So, love you. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start. I think my listeners really want to know, like, how you were inspired. What inspired you to write this book to become a soulful healer, Michal?
Yeah. So the book that, by the way, I am still writing it. I just want to say that I'm in the middle of writing when we record this podcast. So hopefully the name will stay the same after I go through it with my editor. But yes, Become a Soulful Healer, because Soulful Healer is my method that I developed after many, many years of personal and professional transformation and helping many women heal. Mm-hmm. The next evolution of my work is guiding a new generation of soulful healers to receive guidance from their soul and to empower their clients to do the same. Even though I'm writing the book for professionals, I have to say that I have people that are reading the book as I go that give me feedback that there is so much self-healing there. So it's not only for professionals. But when I think about what's going on in the world, especially in the next few years, I think the world is so intense. There is so much trauma. There is so much pain. And I really feel this longing of professionals to not only deepen the work, but to find or discover new ways and new tools to go deeper and not only manage symptoms, but really get to the core of whatever needs to be healed. And I think that one of the things I've been seeing, I have many professionals, therapists, coaches, healing art professionals in my community, then I've seen how there is this opening to integrate tools that are more holistic, really going beyond talk therapy or foundational conversation and expand our toolkit as professionals.
Absolutely. And so I mean, clearly this is needed. And the more the science comes out on neuroscience, the brain, and all these things, we're seeing a much more holistic, many more holistic connections, between mind, body, soul. These aren't just words. These are actual systems that need new methods and ways to reach the neuroplasticity of the brain and the mind and the consciousness so that we can live to our fullest. And I'm curious for you, you're saying soulful healer. So what does that mean to you, the distinction of a soulful healer?
A soulful healer is a healer that is incorporating soulful, spiritual, and somatic work with whatever they do. And I think that those three areas, the soulful work, the spiritual work, and the somatic work, are pieces that are often missing from practice of many healers. And I believe that becoming a soulful healer means that as professionals, as healers, we are in tune with our own soul and we receive guidance from our soul. So when we incorporate soul work and receive messages from our own internal guidance system with our expertise, with whatever we learned, with all the knowledge we acquired throughout the years, then the result is so powerful because we can be more guided in the process of finding or identifying the right tools to use with our clients. But also, the soulful healer method that I created is, I think my vision is to create a community, to build a community. I'm not starting from scratch because in my Beacons of Change community, that is a community not only of professionals, but in my Beacons of Change community, there are already so many professionals, but I really want to create this next generation of professionals that integrate somatic, soul, and spiritual work with whatever they do.
I really like that. I remember receiving one of your messages around that community. I think for me, this connects into what we're really going to need to do as healers, as women, right? Just even women in community in our homes. Like, you don't have to be a healer to be in community where we're able to collaborate and bring new ideas forward more rapidly in response to what's happening, and each of us to embrace our own soul journey. And I think, I just have to touch on this for a second because some people might think to themselves, being a healer isn't that soulful. Well, not necessarily. I've met some really unsoulful healers in my time. And there is a specific intentionality around that, right? Like, really honoring soul growth and not being a healer just to say, I can do this to somebody or I can make them better. And I think we're seeing that sort of thing in Western medicine show up pretty prolifically. Somebody gets a degree and they're a healer. Well, are they? I'm not doubting all doctors or anything like that, but I think there's another level that all of us could go to. And I'm excited that you're bringing this book forward and you're in the process of it. It's very alive right now. And whatever the name winds up being, we'll make sure it's in the show notes.
Yes, I'm sure. And it's interesting because just yesterday I had a conversation with a professional. She's a massage therapist who is going through my Soulful Healer program. And we spoke about what did it add to her life when she's now part of the growing community of Soulful Healers. And she was talking about how many professionals in her community are not living in integrity and are, just, learn something and then already present themselves as healers. And she said that when I started to take her through the program, one of the first foundational steps of the program is to align with your personal and professional values and also to align with the Soulful Healer collective values because I have a set of values and a manifesto for the Soulful Healers that I created. And she said to me, it's the first time that I feel like I have a grounded foundation that lights up my path because I'm so in alignment now with my values, with my gifts and attributes, but also with the Soulful Healers collective values that I feel so confident to walk this path. And she said to me, I started to attract more clients. I'm making more money. And it's all because I'm so much more anchored and part of this community of Soulful Healers. So I can really relate to what you said, Tessa.
That's beautiful. So I'm just going to take a moment here to just also connect this to those of my listeners who aren't in the healing industry or have no, you know, haven't had any inspirations for that yet. It certainly could be something that you do, but regardless, what Mikal is talking about here, the personal, professional values and really anchoring to those, grounding to those, that is exactly what Say Yes to Your Soul is about. It's because whatever your destiny is, whatever your contribution, your path, whatever your path of choice is, you want to have that foundation. If you're deciding you're going to be a philanthropist or a mom or whatever it is, to really be grounded in the values behind that and not in the habits and not in the programming of those things, to really be connected to your soul so that your path lights up whatever it is that you're doing and being here on the planet. Okay. All right. So there's my little teaching moment. Mikal. So you didn't just like wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm going to write this amazing book, blah, blah. You know, you've been on a journey, girl. And I would really love for you to share with our listeners today, you know, some of, because I know you've got a big, big story, whatever part of your story you'd like to share today that gives them a sense of the challenges that you had and how you overcame them.
Yeah.
They would really like to know that.
Yes, right. So, you know, I carried a lot of trauma throughout my life. So I think that one of the reasons why I'm so passionate in helping women heal trauma, because I experienced trauma, first of all, growing up. I'm originally from Israel, growing up and living through war zones. I lived through four wars and, of course, carried a lot of trauma from the wars. But I think one of my pivotal moments were when, after I lost six of my eight pregnancies to the sixth or seventh months of the pregnancy, and I have two wonderful adult children, but I was very depressed after losing six pregnancies and losing the babies. And it's interesting because the first therapist I ever worked with was not a trauma-informed therapist. And I knew that I want to let go of the grief from losing the babies, but I was just not able to do it until I embarked on a journey of studying Reiki and meditation and color healing and doing a lot of inner work myself. And you know, the interesting thing, Tessa, is that even after I became a Reiki master and Reiki really helped me to heal the trauma from my body, I was still lacking joy. I think the grief of losing the babies and all the trauma I carried from the war just took over. I was lacking joy and I was already supposed to be okay and feel good, but it felt like something was dying inside me. And I wasn't aware back then that I was missing a connection with my soul, that my soul was really crushed. And that started me on researching what is the soul and how can I connect more to the soul. And it took many years later for me to realize that this connection from the soul is at the core of many conditions. And I started to see that I'm helping women heal and heal the trauma from their body and they're in a better place. And yet they don't experience joy and happiness and gratitude to the fullest. That's where I realized that deepening your connection with the soul is the key to living life to the fullest.
I'm so with you. Well, certainly I can relate on a personal level with the traumas in my life. And I have an understanding of, you know, losing so many babies, right? And that energy, you're not just losing physical forms when you have miscarriages, you're losing souls. Like there's a loss, there's a feeling of abandonment, or could be many other things, you know, on a soul level, the lessons that come in around that and the pain that one goes through. But until you did the trauma work, it couldn't be released. It's like it lives in the receptors of the soul, and the soul is wanting us to experience joy. And I really love that you're like, how can I do this? Like noticing that, right? And saying, I've got to do something because where I'm at is not good enough, right?
Right. And I think, you know, the soul wants us to experience life to the fullest, which means not only the joy and the happiness, but really to experience a wide range of emotions. And it means that when we feel sad or angry or frustrated, or when we grieve, we really want to make space for that. And in times of darkness, when we have some darker moments in our lives, if we just allow our soul, she will pour the light into us. She will. And I think that's what I've discovered, that if I connect to my internal guidance system, which is really what I help other people do and what I teach professionals to do it as well. But if we connect with our internal guidance system and we allow our soul, which is the essence of who we are, our true self, to guide us on this journey to experience life to the fullest with everything, then we are on the right path. We just need to follow our soul guidance.
Well, there's the whole clinker, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why we need to say yes to our soul.
Exactly, yes. Because some of us are hearing those messages and poo-pooing it, you know, or just talking ourselves out. So like for you, can you give an example of how maybe you weren't listening to your soul essence and then what you did to turn that around?
So, you know, I think that when you ask me this question, what comes up is that not always I turned it around just naturally and easily. Unfortunately, there were times when I had to have like a wake-up call.
Yes.
Because I didn't listen to my soul. So, for example, when I was a new social worker many years ago, I had a belief that it is my job to rescue and save the whole world. And I made other people's needs more important than mine. Is it familiar to you, Tessa?
Oh, you can tell I'm laughing. Yes, of course. This is one of my core patterns.
Exactly.
Right? That I was not here to experience joy, that I was just here to save other people.
Right, exactly. And so what happened was that I became very depressed, unhappy. I absorbed all the pain and the suffering. I was so young. I didn't have the tools to set emotional boundaries. I was a social worker who had the responsibility to save the world, and I got sick. I had so many health issues. I was very heavy weight. I didn't take care of myself. Lots of physical things. And then my mom passed away when she was 65. She had her first heart attack when she was 55, and she passed at 65. And I remember standing at her funeral and having a moment of realizing, oh my God, if I don't change something in my priorities and in my self-care of others before taking care of me, I will end up like her, really dying in an early age because she did not take care of herself. And I had other moments later in life when there was a wake-up call. Again, unfortunately, there was a wake-up call.
Well, let's just talk about that for just a moment.
Okay.
Because I think on the spiritual path, which many of our listeners are, the women that come to the show, you know, they've been meditating, they've been on a spiritual path, but there's like a belief that they're not supposed to have problems.
Yes, and they're supposed to be perfect or heal themselves before healing others. I can tell you how many soulful healers from my community, they say, wait, I'm not ready for it. I need to heal myself first. You're right. You're absolutely right. I really see it as a parallel journey when we heal ourselves as we step into our role in healing others.
I love that, the parallel journey. Okay, so let's go back. So you had another cataclysm, another challenge. What was going on?
Right. So I think that, looking back at my life, there were different times where I felt that I'm dying inside. So one was at my mother's funeral. And then, of course, when I lost all the babies. But even later, when I was already a healer and teaching healing, and, I had my community and everything, I think that because of all the trauma that I carried from the past, I had my moments when my personal trauma was triggered. And I think that happens to all of us. And what I've learned is when my personal trauma is triggered, to really tap into my soul and then check in with my soul and see what I need to do. Is it time to reach out to another professional and let them help me? Is it time for me to just pause and stop? Like, for example, I remember in the middle of the pandemic, I supported many, many women during the pandemic and many who also lost loved ones or were sick themselves, nurses that were sick with COVID. And there was a point in the middle of the pandemic where it was just too much for me. I felt like completely overwhelmed. So I had to just pause. I took a few days to connect with my soul, to sit with my soul and kind of like to reset. And it was just a few days that I needed to step back and deepen the connection with my soul. And I received so many answers for my soul, really just to know where I'm heading. And it only took a few days. And then I was back, rock and rolling, but taking a better care of myself. I think it's one of my spiritual lessons, and I bet it's a spiritual lesson for maybe other soulful healers also, to balance giving and receiving and to not give more than we receive.
Yes.
That's simply one of my spiritual lessons, and my soul keeps reminding me of that lesson and showing me how to learn it.
I love that one. So it's almost like what I would call the hyper empath, right? Like feeling out there and like wanting to do so much for everybody else. And then one's own container becomes tired or used or drained or whatever it is. And then the imbalance shows up in some not so pretty way in our lives. What I'd love for you to illuminate on, or just bring this a little bit forward. So when you're talking about how you needed a couple days to reset, right, to step back and listen to your soul, like what does that actually look like for you, Michal?
So it's interesting because for many years I have a very solid practice of Reiki and meditation. I start my day every day with self-Reiki. I teach Reiki for so many years that it's like a second nature to me. Reiki and meditation is non-negotiable for me. But in the middle of the pandemic, when I had to reset, at the beginning, it felt like it's not enough. And then I questioned it. I said, there is no way it's not enough. That's my solid foundation. But when I tapped into my soul, when I tuned into my soul, I received the message that I am meant to move my body more. And I also was guided to listen to music that softens and opens my heart. So I started to combine those two guidance that I received. And then to add to my practice, to my daily practice, intentional movement with music and actually moving my body while listening to a song that I love or to music. And that part, for example, of movement, even now when I teach.
I know, I got to experience that with you.
You did?
Yes, I just want to share that because,
Okay.
I've known you in many ways, right? And over a long period of time. And when you put the music on and you were moving, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's this beautiful essence that's just coming forward. It was so luscious. And I knew that you were really tapping into your essence in those moments and expressing another whole part of yourself. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Right. And I think, if you ask me like to share like a tip or one tip with the listeners, I think that will be it, that when you tune into your soul and you maybe reconnect with things that you love to do, or things that lit up your soul, or things that maybe you used to love when you were younger, and then make them part of your daily practice. Like for me, it became like movement with music. But I know from a conversation I have with soulful healers in my community that it can be different things. Like just yesterday, one of the women said that her soul was guided her to explore different tantric practices. And another woman said that for her, it was gardening. She reconnected with her love of the earth, of gardening, whatever it is. Tap into your soul and ask your soul, really ask your soul what she needs to feel complete and to feel loved, and just listen, receive the guidance from your soul, and then put it into action. Because if we just allow our soul to guide us, we will receive meaningful guidance. Even just a simple practice of closing your eyes and grounding yourself and asking a question, what do you need right now? Like asking your soul, what does my soul need right now? And then taking your journal and freely just writing, letting your soul writing whatever she needs right now, that simple practice can make all the difference.
It certainly can. I love that. I love how you just described all those nuances to connecting to soul, but it starts with that question, what does my soul need right now? And then I think there's like a letting go. I'm just going to add this for my people because they're busy trying to be perfectionists and what else.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like not expecting an immediate answer, right? It's an opening. And even for me, you know, I don't always get an immediate answer. I might get it later when I'm washing dishes or
Absolutely.
Something else, right? Yeah. But she is there. And I just love this conversation. Oh my gosh. I will share this. I may or may not keep this in, but while you're talking about like remembering the things in your childhood.
Yeah.
And one of them for me is around sensuality. But the other one, I got this really strong image in my head. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to do that one. But it's literally was doing backbends. For some reason, I loved to stand on my head and do backbends. And I just got shut down around it, you know. But there's part of me that wants that expression in the physical body. Right. So I'll find another way I can do it. But that was kind of a fun little image to have come up right now.
Either you go back and you try it, or you ask yourself, like, what did you like about it? And what was the feeling that emerged when you did that? And then you find other ways to generate the same feelings. But first, you need to really connect to it on an emotional level and say, okay, how did it feel when I did that? What was the feeling? And then you might find other ways to generate those feelings.
Oh my gosh, this is so great. We could keep talking forever. And ladies, I just want to make sure, you know, you might even want to take a note, like, right, that is absolutely essential advice. Feeling the feelings, no bypassing, right? Because the feelings are the gateway to the spirit. And what Mikkel is sharing here today is amazing. And you can give yourself that experience with love and kindness and not forcing and or pushing. So, okay, Mikkel, we're going to need to wrap up here soon, but there is one other question I had for you today around the role of soul in healing trauma. I would love to know what your perspective is specifically on that.
Yes, so that's actually a really, really important topic, because when professionals are not trauma informed, and actually even professionals that are trauma informed, they might miss this really crucial point, which is trauma is stored in the body, and no talk therapy will be enough to heal the trauma unless it is combined with somatic work, with energetic work. I think I discovered that many years ago when I had women that I helped them heal trauma, And even when the healing was very deep and they knew mentally that they had a toolbox with tools and they knew what to do when the trauma was triggered, something will happen and they will be automatic back on the behavior that they experienced, you know, when the trauma was triggered. And it took me years to develop, you know, my modality that really is designed to help release the trauma on a cellular level to complete the process of the healing. So the role of the soul here is really important, because when I take women through the journey into their soul, which is my signature process of healing, this journey into the soul, I don't decide or I don't direct the healing process in any way. Not only that I'm in alignment with the, you know, life force energy, with the divine energy, but I help my clients to connect to their soul and receive the information from within. So just a recent example, I'll give an example. A woman came to see me as a medical intuitive because she had skin rash all over her body and hives. And she tried everything and different professionals and medical professionals, and nothing really helped her. She had it chronically for a long time. And when I took her through the journey into the soul, while she was in the deep meditation, I was guiding her to connect with the soul. Her soul guided her to dialogue with her mother on a spiritual level. Her mother just woke up. And when she went through a very deep healing experience, when she was still in the journey into the soul space, and later when she opened her eyes, she told me that she never made the connection that her mother, who died years before, in her childhood, she had a medical condition which affected her arms. And then my client's soul guided her to generate some healing with her mother. And a few days after the journey into the soul, she emailed me and said, "It's gone. I don't have it anymore. I don't have hives." And it was her soul that guided us to generate healing with her mother, which helped her to get to the core of what prevented her from healing her hives. So that's how trauma can be so powerfully stored in the body.
Yes, indeed. Well, that is a beautiful example of what can happen when we know the right tools. And so I want people to be able to reach out to you, Mikhail. So how can ladies get in touch with you?
Yeah, so it's simple. My website is Beacons of Change, Beacons with S, Beacons of Change. And you can email me at info@beaconsofchange.com. I'm always open to schedule a free 20-minute soul clarity call. That's what I call it, to really help you measure your level of alignment with your soul and gain insight about what direction you can receive from your soul. So yeah, just info@beaconsofchange.com, and I will be happy to schedule a consultation with you.
Fantastic. Wow. I'm just so excited to hear, you know, the levels of growth that have happened over time and your insights. And of course, you and I have like some simpatico thing here going on with the whole like learning about the soul and going further with that and releasing trauma. I know that the work that you do is really needed, and it's just been a blessing to have you here today on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you had me here, and I'm so supportive of your work. I feel like, you know, you are already a soulful healer, and I feel like we're like soul sisters on this journey. We need more women that, you know, will join us on this journey. So whatever I can do to help, I'm happy to do it.
Beautiful. All right. So thank you for listening today. And I just want to invite you to take maybe even just a few moments after this podcast to listen to your soul, to just start welcoming her in and letting yourself feel the love she has for you. Bye-bye for now. We'll talk again soon.